this week are Mike, It Would Be Gay Not To, Lemieux, and Greg, Space Core Jam.
Space.
Yeah, so space. Also, standards.
Or stars.
Stars.
Or Space Agency for Transcendent and Revolutionary Technology of Spaceman.
Which is the best name ever.
This manga has the craziest acronyms I have ever seen.
A couple of us have now read this. It's one of the newest series. In fact, it's,
stars.
I think, tied for the shortest running ST&RS.
Pronounced stars, if you go by the katakana underneath it.
Of course. And, I enjoyed it.
Well, give me a short summary, because I haven't seen it.
So basically, 15 years ago in the manga time, which is I think this year, because it takes place in the future, aliens sent a message to Earth to meet them on Mars at this date. So the world governments created a space program to train astronauts for a mission to Mars to meet the aliens. And the story
accelerated all the technology, so there's better rocket technology, and there's a moon base now, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Everything on Earth revolves around getting to Mars for this meeting.
To be fair, I think that if aliens contacted us and told us to meet them someplace by sometime, that would be the sort of thing that would motivate people to actually push in that direction.
Yes. So what STARS is, it's this institute for training young people to be the astronauts to go to Mars. And, you follow characters that wish to do that.
Sounds interesting.
It is.
Yeah, the premise is really solid. Some of the execution is less than stellar, not intended.
Now, I don't think I liked it as much as you did, and the main problem I had with it is that there's absolutely no tension at all ever with anything. Throughout the entire manga, every problem is solved within 5 seconds of it arising. There are no antagonists.
I would agree that there's no antagonists at this point. I think that one of the problems with it, and this will get to the core of what your issue with it is, and I think that I'm more intrigued by it versus, and this is probably also why, for the record, this has pretty much been at the bottom of the barrel voting-wise since as far back as I've bothered looking, so it's probably going to get canceled. But the point of the manga is the mystery, wanting to figure out what it is that the aliens want, but obviously they can't do that right from the outset. The core over the course of the manga, it's been I said anime earlier, didn't I? Over the course of it, they have been having you have to qualify to get into the school, and so they have the contest to get into the school. But because this is the point of the manga, obviously you know that they're going to get in, and then they have the requisite rival, but the rivalry is not as nearly as direct. It's just this one person is at the top of the rankings, and they go about doing these contests in different ways. I do think that I felt a little bit of tension when on one of the classroom things, they're basically in a virtual reality environment controlling robots on the moon who are actually doing work on the moon. And then there is an accident which happens, and some of the adults up there actually got injured. And it was interesting to see, whether they were going to have anything happen with that. Not really. They solved the problem, and that's that.
My problem with that part was it was looking like the main character was going to have to do something on his own and rise to the occasion, but instead they just fixed the problem and it kind of worked itself out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he and the other guy working together rose and fixed the problem. And then I liked the little throw out at the end where it was finding the battery and plugging it into the other one so it continued working. That there's the protagonist of this series appears to be one of what is some special children, which are they part of the thing which seemed a little odd was that they have these kids going into the school to go to Mars, but the entire point, aside from actually if you think about it, if you can get highly trained children, the fuel requirements for sending over kids would be a lot less than for sending over full-grown humans, but like adults. But there was a first message which was sent out a number of hours prior to the second one, which they were only able to, it was garbled, it was weaker, they were only able to translate a couple words, and one of the words was it child or children?
I think it was children or something like that. Or...
Yeah. And so they knew that there was something about children, and they've been working on trying to figure this thing out, and it's another thing which is happening in parallel to this entire getting into the school, etc. They finally have translated the entire thing now in the most recent chapter. But the point that was just revealed in this week's chapter is that there's three specific ones that have powers of the galaxy, is what it's referred to as. And what were the trio? It was space,
sound.
Language... Well, let sound, and what was the third one that we don't know who it is yet?
It was Map. Map is the main character.
Yeah.
Language is the girl, and then sound is one that we're waiting on.
No, I thought I thought language and sound were the same thing, and we're just.
Oh.
I suspect that this might be a translation thing, because if you think about it, if you think about it, like, spatial recognition is the protagonist. He is able to just consciously know where things are by having seen their trajectories and that sort of stuff, and he is able to, with his eyes closed, tell exactly where everything is.
Yeah, they demonstrate this by he can throw, like, hurl something as hard as he can and land in the trash basket, you know, because he just knows how far away it is. But
and it's come into play in a couple of the challenges that they've had and that sort of stuff. But I would agree that the in this roundabout point that I've been getting to, where it's most shonen is about there might be this long-term goal that you're going towards, but there is constant challenges, people that you're fighting or trying to overcome, or there is competition more direct than what occurs in here. Whereas in Stars, it seems to be more about the mystery and figuring out what the hell is going on with these aliens.
Okay, when you put it that way.
Yeah, and so I think that it's an interesting manga, and I would like to see it continue to go, although it's probably not going to do so. I don't think it's necessarily suited well for Shonen Jump.
I don't think Shonen Jump likes mysteries, because the one I recommended a few weeks back, Enigma, it was kind of like this, you know, like a running mystery that it was building towards, and it gets canceled before it can ever reach the climax of it.
I don't think the audience likes mysteries.
Well, that's what I mean. They don't have the patience.
Well, that and then, and I hate to, this is, the voting is done by a segment of the population, that being Shonen Jump readers in Japan. And this is something that's, I guess, city life versus country life, and in a very, very dense, very, very lit city like Japan, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of them have never had that experience that I'm sure many of us have had in our youth, where you're out in the countryside or something like that, and you look up at the sky and you see the Milky Way across the sky. And so I even beyond the not necessarily being into mysteries, it wouldn't surprise me if the demographics that are the people that are voting on this are not the sort of people who had that fascination with space as children.
Yeah, I could see that. Aside from story complaints, I do like the characters in the manga.
Yeah, the characters are good. The artwork's very good, too.
I do want to specifically point out that there's a character called T.T. Collins that has giant breasts, and I laughed for like 5 minutes when I got to that part.
So what's the likelihood that this is just going to become a far more traditional Jump manga and all the aliens are bad and it was an ambush?
Nah.
We're already at chapter 22. It's probably going to get the axe. If it gets the opportunity for a twist, I think that the twist is going to be what was planned all along, that being these people are going to be taken to the stars for exploration or something like that, and then it'll become, I don't know, something more along the lines of Stargate, where there's, you know, the as opposed to in One Piece having the island arcs, they have arcs on different planets or something like that.
I mean, the story has progressed pretty far in two chapters.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's attempting to rush to actually get them to Mars, because that's kind of one of the climax things and would be the sort of thing that would get more votes.
In the latest couple chapters, you actually see the aliens, and I'm wondering if that was a desperation move of, like...
Kind of, not really.
You know, well, you get an idea, like, you see that they're freaking huge, for one. They're not people-sized.
Yes, and also, calling those things chairs is the stupidest thing ever.
But they're so obviously chairs. They're, like, blocks at a slight angle. They're clearly chairs.
In reference to, like, Jump not, like, jump on is not liking mysteries, I was just thinking that if you took Death Note and made it about L, it would be far less popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was about trying to catch this killer,
yeah,
you were all one step behind.
The fact that like everything was spelled out and Light explained all his motivations from the start, that probably helped to actually make that successful.
And, focus be on the anti-hero at the outset, if you will.
And there, you know, there were a couple times where it was, you know, all according to Keikaku, and stuff got revealed suddenly, but for the most part, the audience had a pretty good idea of what was going on at any given time.
And even when there was some, you know, crazy, meticulous plan, there was always something going on in each chapter to progress the plot.
Yeah, so
whether kidnapping somebody or, you know.
It wasn't my favorite manga, but I did enjoy, you know, to some degree. And I'll keep reading for as long as it, you know, stays in Jump.
I have read much worse manga.
Oh, me too. I've read much worse manga.
Speaking of which, Bleach. What happened this week? Because near as I can remember two pages off the top of my head of that entire manga.
All right, Ichigo recognized that it was a Quincy, and if I can interject and make my own speculation here, I am going to guess that this entire war thing is, this is going to be all of the people that were the Quincys that were slaughtered, and because they didn't bother to, or that they didn't release the souls or whatever it is, that they ended up either being consumed by Hollows and have kind of risen to the top sort of thing because of the powers that they had inside of them, or something along those lines where they became holified Quincys who eventually became Arrancar.
Right, but the basic plot summary for the chapter is these dudes are Quincys and they want to kill everyone in Soul Society.
Yeah,
and also,
did that lieutenant
guy
actually die?
Yeah,
do you think?
He seemed dead. He had a giant sword sticking through him and he was bleeding everywhere.
Wait, we've seen worse in Bleach. Come on.
The guy fighting Ichigo. See, okay, this made no sense to me. Because his whole thing was he was trying to taunt Ichigo to pull out his Bankai so he could absorb it or eat it or whatever.
Right.
And Ichigo breaks through it. That is not really a good thing. The way he was trying to do it, it doesn't make any sense unless you've shown it work before.
Right, he was so sure that it was going to work against Ichigo.
This is a very fundamental storytelling thing that I don't know how he just completely skipped over.
The whole show-don't-tell thing?
Well, not a matter of show-don't-tell. It's if you're going to have something that you want to put as a threat, you have to actually make it a threat at some point and not make it the first time it's shown being completely weak and useless.
Well, I don't think that this guy was ever intended to actually be a real threat.
I think this is the first time we're seeing it, and I bet all the other Quincys can do it too. And this is just the hint that there is something they can do with Bankais for later on.
This wasn't really a hint, though.
That seems reasonable.
But I mean, now there's a looming threat that anytime a Soul Reaper is going to be fighting a Quincy, if they use a Bankai, there's.
But now we know that Ichigo can just get stronger and break through it.
Well, that guy's, but he's obviously a peon.
But I mean, that's how it's going to happen, though.
Oh yeah, totally. But
that they should have had this happen with nameless Shinigami, probably the one in
the Afro guy.
Yeah, they could have just used his or somebody's Bankai, one of the captains, and not
The only people who have Bankais are captains, and then two lieutenants. But
they could have used theirs and not have to go to the Ichigo trump card that quickly. It just seemed
has to do with trying to continue to rush things along, so two birds with one stone, introduce Ichigo to the threat and show that they can absorb the Bankai, supposedly.
I think this is the first chapter that feels like it's actually intended to be part of the final arc, because the last ones definitely seemed appended.
Yeah, those Quincy guys especially, you notice how well they're drawn this chapter.
Yeah.
Their clothes actually look like clothes instead of just white.
Last week was Hunter x Hunter style sketches.
Oh, yes. I didn't even show you the worst of how bad Hunter x Hunter got with its sketching.
It was kind of embarrassing for Bleach last week with how bad that looked. Because those characters are barely designed, much less drawn.
Yeah, it was weird this week.
It was just mediocre, and then this week everything seemed nice and inked well and in detail and everything else.
I mean, it seemed like he was trying to do the best with what he could, you know, especially with those characters, like, you tried to add a little bit of flair to their design this week. But I do think you're right, though. This one is the first one that doesn't feel like something was tacked on. Like, the last couple, you can tell everything wasn't quite right.
So was it just me, or, like, well, judging by the cover, does it seem like Ichigo is probably going to have that kid be his replacement?
Yeah, self-sacrifice or something, and that kid takes up the mantle.
Or something. I don't know. I thought that the cover looked a little creepy myself, but
with him just standing behind the kid in the hoodie.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I can't help but wonder. Honestly, with the look and whatnot, and some of the other news that came out today, I kind of wonder if Kubo enjoys Assassin's Creed, just from the way that the hoodie looked over him and that sort of stuff.
Well, it was supposed to be reminiscent of the Hollow Mask, right?
Well, yeah.
Obviously, but
that is a pretty sweet hoodie. I like that he moved on from Spanish to German now.
Yes.
The bad guys are always German.
The Vanderreich.
Yes, but the bad guys in the previous one were all Spanish. And actually, what's it called? In Shonen Jump Alpha, the past 2 weeks, there have been an interview with him, and when he's talking about the stuff, and basically his entire rationale for using Spanish earlier was because he thought it sounded cool. And so he would come up with some term that he wanted to kind of envision and just looked up what the Spanish words were for, like, roughly around that thing, and then just kind of went, picked the one that sounded the coolest, and that's what he went with.
That's what I always assumed he would do.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, Hueco
so
Mundo.
I'm going to guess he's doing the exact same thing with German this time.
But going with Reich for the bad guys seems a little,
obvious.
Maybe wasn't the best move.
Well, he did use the, not swastika, but Buddhist symbol that looks a lot like the swastika. Yeah, for Ichigo's hilt. I don't know if he's still using that.
I think he is. And honestly, I don't think that anybody really got bothered by that either, oddly enough.
They removed it for the anime.
They did?
I'm pretty sure they did.
No, I didn't think so.
I think everybody's used to it by now, because, you know, he's been using it for so long.
And it's small enough, because, you know, it looks like a hilt, you know. But, No, I think that's on there. The ones that got edited were definitely in One Piece.
Yeah, One Piece is the one you might be thinking
like,
of.
And that they actually retconned that in the manga, too. They changed that later on in the manga, that Whitebeard's symbol, as opposed to having the cross, used to be a...
And now Naruto edited it out on Neji's forehead.
Yes, in Naruto.
Yeah, so I guess the big three all have a lot of manji in them, don't they?
Yeah.
Looking up screen caps of the anime, I don't see it on his hilt.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it before.
I
definitely remember seeing
it
in the dub
with
and
that.
Being surprised. Because I was wondering what American audiences with no, you know, other knowledge on the subject would see, because I would think swastika immediately if I didn't know better.
Maybe it's just not drawn in certain scenes, which would not be surprising with anime quality these days.
As far as this chapter goes, I kind of like where Bleach is going now, especially if that character is actually dead and there's a threat from these guys. That'd be pretty awesome.
My opinion on this arc will basically hinge on whether or not that guy is actually dead.
Well, I mean, he's never had any lines and he has no personality, so I don't think it'll be a big loss if he goes. But
I don't understand the entire...
What are you talking about? You didn't watch the filler? No.
No, I did not.
I don't understand the point of why they came into his room to...
To declare war, obviously.
Yeah, they're gentlemen. That's how gentlemen
declare war. I like how they're like, we're going to kill you in 5 days. You know, just seem to back up from their initial declaration and then decided to throw in the number of days.
I like how they also had to demonstrate it by having a guy get slammed into the room with a sword and be like, yeah, see, like that. We're going to do that to you in 5 days.
But they could have just killed him right there.
But that's not in 5 days. Just enough time for a training arc. Do you think that's where this is going?
I hope
everybody's
not.
Train for the fight against the Quincy Reich.
I'm going to guess that it's not going to be a training arc as much as a let's get our ducks in a row so that we actually have everybody there to fight. And then people will line up and pick opponents, and then there will be a long stream of uninteresting fights before we get to the interesting ones.
Well, then, I think something else is going to have to happen with this arc, if it's really the last one. I mean, because right now they've just set up, like, we're going to fight you. And is that just going to be the end of it?
My guess is they don't worry about training, and they just figure since Ichigo beat that guy, he's going to be able to beat all the rest. And then they lose horribly. So they have
to,
like,
they have
pick
to go
up
to Aizen
pieces.
For help.
Yeah. Because they didn't kill him, and that's probably kind of important.
Yeah, leaving Aizen alive as soon as they did that, just, you know,
yeah.
Slam your hands
on
the death.
It's going to be something, because these guys have hollow powers somehow, that's going to result in them needing Aizen, and then he will,
use the Hokage
with Urahara's help, come up with a way to make a key without destroying Karakura Town, and it's going to open up the Soul King, and then that entire thing's going to come into it. There's my mad speculation for trying to wrap up every single loose end in the rest of the series.
I think worst case scenario, it's going to be normal Shonen Jump final arc, then with a big info dump in the last 5 or 6 chapters.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, everything gets real dire. It really gets weird towards the end of some of the Shonen Jump manga, when it's kind of like in the end game and they're just finishing out the fights.
I would say that honestly, of all the ones that have been going up to the end, Naruto has been handling that the most gracefully.
Yeah.
But they've been building towards this since the time skip, so about 3-4 years.
True. Yeah.
And Bleach hasn't really been building towards anything in particular. It just kind of kept going.
It just keeps building upon itself.
Yeah, which makes the idea of just like a final arc out of nowhere, I don't know. I hope it's not disappointing. I hope it's good.
See, right now, Kubo is playing Jenga with Bleach, and there's just ever so slight chance every issue he's going to just topple the whole thing over.
I like that that analogy. I like that mental thought.
Because, I mean, after Hueco Mundo, I'm guessing a lot of people have no confidence this is going to be any good, but it's been okay so far.
Yeah, like, we're hard on Bleach because it's been so mediocre for so long.
It's an easy target.
Yes.
Well, it killed a lot of its own potential. That's the biggest problem I have with it, is
yeah,
Soul Society was so good, and it was heading towards something, and it just stopped in its tracks.
It's the same problem I have with The Office. It was so good at one point. I know they can do that. I know what quality Bleach is capable of, and it just doesn't seem to ever try to rise to it.
See, that's a weird thing about manga versus, like, say, TV shows. That TV shows, writers will come and go, directors will come and go, but manga, it's always going to be that same guy. I don't understand, like, how there could be that dramatic a change within the same work.
I think that the main thing is, honestly, I think Bleach originally ended up as being a shorter planned thing, and then he just had to kind of tack on an ending in order to allow it to continue going so he can continue making a profit, and, you know, Shonen Jump made sure that he would continue such a successful series.
Except now they're forcing him to end it, so.
Yeah.
I had actually kind of expected it to end around the Hueco Mundo arc, like after he beat Aizen. I found it kind of weird that it kept going.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, like, you kept telling me Bleach is in its end game.
Yeah. And then it just kind of kept going, and now it's, you know, being taken out behind the barn.
Oh, well, hopefully at least they can end it strongly.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I really do hope it's good. I love it when things are good, because then things are good.
Yeah. So anyway, decent beginning to the arc.
Yeah.
Overall.
Also starting a new arc is Beelzebub, right?
Yes, and
maybe
you knew that it was going to be good just because of the chapter name.
We're going on a field trip?
Yes.
So, guess what happens in the chapter? They're going on a field trip.
I like that the entire chapter was basically just them setting up how they want to go on a field trip.
I like
it's like a parody of every other, you know, high school field trip manga ever.
I like that Satomi doesn't want to go on the trip, like, because he's a lecher or anything. He just never got to do it when he was a kid. So he really wants to go to the beach.
Well, also because he's a ledger.
Yes.
Yes. But hitting on all of the cliches of everything that has to happen. And
so, yeah, the chapter was basically just all them trying to weasel their way into the St. Ishiyama's field trip, right?
Pretty much. I did. My favorite part of the whole chapter was Furuichi going on for pages about how everyone's going to be wearing swimsuits. And rather than, like, agree with him, most of the girls are just like, well, clearly this is the kind of thing he would say because he's creepy and a pervert. And he just rolls with it. That's, like, if you're going to say
and
it anyway.
He's like, yeah, you're going to say it anyway, so.
I love that in his imagination, like, the first time when he was imagining the girls in bathing suits, they were calling him a pedophile and saying they were going to kill him with giant smiles on their faces running away. You know, like, the typical, you know, shown in anime, the aha, running in the slow motion, but with threats of violence against him. His self-esteem must be just shot to crap at this point.
Well, come on, when you're hanging out with this group of people around him, what else can you do? I also liked his reflection on what sort of school did I come to again, when he was thinking about all the vacations and stuff like that he's missed out on from being with the delinquents.
They've never actually touched on why Furuichi is at Ishiyama.
No, didn't he come because he was a friend of...
He was Oga's friend.
Yeah.
But they never... Like, he seems to hate Oga.
No, they're like best friends.
They're best...
Yeah.
Like,
and I thought that they actually touched on the fact that he went to the school because he was Oga's best friend.
But he had to have known it was a delinquent school, and he doesn't seem like a delinquent.
Friendship conquers all.
He doesn't exactly seem like a straight edge either.
Yeah.
So.
But when they went back to... They did those middle school flashbacks and when he was fighting the top guys in St. Ishiyama... It seemed like Furuichi was pretty far removed from Oga's delinquency. Like, he hung out with Oga, but wasn't part of that fighting kind of thing.
Well, they need a straight man somewhere, so...
Yeah. I just think there's probably more to that than they're letting on immediately. This is, oddly, one of the first, I would say, ensemble Beale chapters in a long time.
That was, like, the whole cast coming together to do something?
Well, not only that it was the whole cast, but it was a lot less Hilda, Beale, and Oga.
They barely talked in this chapter, actually.
Yeah, they only had one or two lines.
So where do you think that this arc's going to end up going?
I think they're going to go on a vacation.
I think
really?
Behemoth is definitely going to be there.
En's going to be on a vacation there for some reason.
Yeah.
With his army.
Because the principal let them go really easily.
Yeah.
I thought that was just the joke, was that they were going to all this effort to try and get the principal's permission to go on the thing too, and then the principal was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, go ahead.
God, that crappy little play that they did to convince him was the funniest thing I've ever read. Did I read that wrong, or did they cut Himikawa's hair at the end of it?
I think they were going to, but they...
Yeah,
they didn't show him for the rest of the chapter, so I don't know if he's going to lose his pompadour.
The best throwaway line is where they're trying to rationalize why Himikawa just doesn't pay for the whole vacation, because he doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to.
Yeah. He is the 1%.
He'll pay for an entire LAN party and the developer of the game.
Yes.
But he won't pay for the vacation.
Well, yeah. When he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to. They're going to... Well, I actually don't think Behemoth is going to be there, because we saw at the start of the chapter that other school... that was saying that the delinquent school is coming.
Oh.
Like they seem to want to fight him.
I don't think that, like... I hope it's just going to be straight-up comedy for the next 15 or so chapters. Because I think I prefer Beale when it's more comedy than action.
Well, but it's always comedy when it's action, too.
True, but, like... I think it's a better gag manga than it is a battle
fighting.
Manga.
I'll agree with that. I think that this is going to end up that there's going to be a whole lot of Kunieda attempting to confess, because that's what happens when people go on vacation.
Yeah,
and
she seems
it's
really
going to continue getting effed up the entire time.
Kunieda got real excited when Satomi mentioned good memories. So
I think that they're going to be lampshade hanging on that entire when you go on vacation, it's supposed to be, or on your trip, it's supposed to be a special thing where you confess to the one that you love and all that sort of, you know, bull crap.
I like that Furuichi was very excited about the idea of being able to stay up all night talking about the girls he likes, as if he doesn't do that normally.
I love that Furuichi has finally accepted that everyone just hates him and just doesn't care at this point, so he's totally comfortable doing the things that he wants to do.
I'm guessing
it's what makes him the best character.
Somehow Alan Day is going to show up there. to just ruin his entire vacation.
Yes. Show up every time he's successfully hitting on a girl and act like they're lovers.
See, he should never successfully be able to hit on a girl. That should it should just always be complete failure.
Until, like, the last chapter of the manga when miraculously he gets, like, Miss Japan or something like that. Just to, and that's the end. Right.
See,
there.
My assumption has always been, ends. Like, if he ever gets success, like, it's there'll be some sort of situation where Beale just immediately wipes her off the face of the earth.
See, I've always thought, like, him and Nene were supposed to be the pair. Like, they seem to have some chemistry at some point to make me think that.
There was that one episode, like, where he was dealing with thugs that he used to know in middle school.
Yeah, when they were at the pool.
Yeah. But that was never really followed up on. It was just the one isolated incident. And from then on, they never really acknowledged it or said anything about it. Which, granted, they think is a pedophile now, so...
Yes. Maybe she's into that.
She is. She's into long-haired swordswomen.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I laughed aloud several times during that chapter.
It was a funny chapter.
Yeah, fantastic. I definitely enjoyed this chapter.
I don't actually laugh out loud reading stuff very often, but...
quite frequently when catching up on Beale, so... Heartily recommended for people who haven't gotten into it yet.
Alright, so moving on from Beale, because there's not really a whole lot we can talk about at the beginning of an arc, but Bakuman...
I actually had to remember today what happened last chapter. I totally forgot about it.
Basically, everyone apologized to Azuki, and she had plans from her agent to deny the entire relationship, and instead she went on and announced and defended it.
Right.
Which is perfectly in character with her, and I think the right thing to do in that situation, personally. But
it's perfectly in character, but that's what made it so predictable. Like, for not for a single second did I think that she was going to get on the air and deny the relationship.
Well, the thing is that, you know, since it's so perfectly in character, her agent should have known better than to put her on the air. But
and I think Mashiro should have known that she wasn't going to do it either. Like, I know he was happy that she didn't do it. But there was no tension there. I'm not, like, this felt like a weird misstep for Bakuman in general. To actually dedicate a chapter to whether or not she's going to do this.
It didn't feel like a misstep to me. It felt like the natural progression of what was going on.
Just because there wasn't a wild twist doesn't mean it's a...
It's not a matter of it being a wild twist, but it was such an obvious thing that I don't know why they felt the need to spend time on it.
You thought it should have gone as kind of unsaid, like assumed that...
It should have gone unsaid, or it could have been a page. Like, in the middle of the chapter, and then...
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, the climax, is, or the twist isn't... The cliffhanger, if you will, is not that she's doing it, it's what's the reaction going to be.
Well, that's a cliffhanger, but the climax is she went up there to say something, and then... Because they put a bunch of reaction faces after she said that she's in love with Mashiro.
I don't know, the fact that these two people can't even be in the same room as each other, and she's... on national radio proclaiming her love for him seems like a pretty big step to me. Like, that seems way out of her comfort zone. It doesn't seem like something that she would just assumably do.
But did you think that she was going to...
And so now the national media is going to talk about how naive it is? No.
But did you think when reading that issue that she was going to deny the relationship?
No.
Exactly. I mean, this
but
isn't
that's not the point.
It's not a situation like you're watching or reading a Naruto fight and Naruto wins. This is like, you know, watching Naruto reel back for a punch and then him connecting the punch. It's such an obvious thing that I don't think that it's going to have, like, I didn't think for a second that it would be contrary to what her character usually does.
Well, no, but plot-wise, this is still a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not like this is just an afterthought of or like, and like when I said it's a natural progression, yes, it's a step in this entire process and whatnot, but it's not like this is a, you know, minuscule thing. Like when you're saying that it's just a punch, it's not, you know, a small iterative progression in the course of the thing. This is a big deal for the course of the plot line.
I'm actually wondering if her career as a voice actress is over at this point. You know, if that's where this is going. I mean, it's not. it won't be. Things don't happen that way in Bakuman, but it's kind of, you know.
Well, it's like the thing you said with Stars, that stuff just sort of works out without really any tension.
Yeah, I understood some of your complaints about Bakuman lately, reading Stars.
And part of what bothers me is that it's the ending to this chapter is basically the ending to last chapter. You know, somebody goes on the radio and says an impassioned plea for what they believe.
Yeah, Fukuda's speech was not as great as I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, they didn't spend a whole lot of time on that in the next chapter, like the beginning of it.
No, I thought he actually had a point to make, but he just totally like, my friends want to get married, leave my friends alone.
Yeah. And for someone that's like, you know, he's so outspoken and so...
I thought he had like a plan, but it didn't seem like he did.
Well, his plan is that he's the first person to break the silence on what's actually going on because neither of the two people involved in it were going to do so themselves.
Well, but then the fallout from that was like, oh crap, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'll retract my statement. You know, like it didn't seem like he'd actually thought it through that much.
Him apologizing
was weird. Does he seem like
the
sort of person who thinks things through?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, it did seem out of character for him to apologize.
And retract the statement and all that.
Yeah. Like, he hedged his bets a little bit and said, you know, I won't retract all of it. I'll just say that's not something I should have said. But it's like, if this were 4 years ago, he would have staunchly refused to apologize at all.
Yeah, I think he was doing it for Azuki's benefit, though. They didn't know how she had reacted to it at that point. She was kind of radio silent.
It seemed like he got through to his editor, Yujiro, when he said, I'm an adult, but, you know, you guys are the adults who are doing rotten things.
Yeah, that seemed to strike a chord with him.
But then immediately after, he's like, okay, whatever, I'll apologize. I don't know, this chapter seemed... It lacked tension, but also seemed schizophrenic.
I'm eager to see where it goes, like most things.
I don't see all they're going to keep doing until they bother to get to the auditions is everyone defending this relationship. It feels like Takashi and Obata have a point to make, and they're going to make that point over the story.
Well, I mean,
at this point, we've gone over the crest of the hill on the log flume. We're holding on, going down the chute, and we're just waiting for the splash.
We can kind of see the end down at the bottom, but we still got to get there. I would think that the auditions have to be coming up pretty soon, right? Like,
would assume so. I one or two chapters.
Well, yeah, Bakumani can never tell. Sometimes they spend like days on literally a couple of hours, and sometimes they'll time skip 3 or 4 months. Within a page.
Right. But it seems like all the ducks are getting in a row for the auditions to happen and for that stuff to be put aside. And yeah.
Like I said, it feels like they're trying to make a point, and it doesn't, like, if they had managed to make the point as well as make a compelling chapter, I don't think I'd be complaining. But I didn't think it was compelling. I thought it was fairly rote, which is surprising for Bakuman.
I kind of wonder if they're trying to make this point so bad, if it's personal for them. Like, if they have a friend or, you know, there are voice actresses
yeah.
of this kind of
it's
stuff.
It's possible. I don't know whether, like, I haven't heard anything in the pipeline as to what, like, you know, the regular discussion and whatnot, whether this is based off of somebody that they know. And it seems like with how much they've been focusing on this lately, that would be something which would have come out. But,
Well, Bakuman pulls a lot of its storylines from people they know. From actual
stuff. I don't know storylines necessarily. They make characters based on
Well, characters, yeah, but yeah. I don't think there's a manga company, for example, but I would say a lot of the rivalries they've set up are probably from actual mangaka they know.
Extrapolated out to be
Dramatic and shonen-y.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll see, but overall, usually when Bakuman will spend time trying to create tension, it succeeds. And this time, I don't feel it did.
I didn't think it was really trying to create tension, but...
I don't know, this seemed as tension-y as Bakuman gets, or tries to get. With her just, like, going up there and
inhaling and then finally saying it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You felt they were building a moment, and the moment just didn't speak to you that much.
It would have spoken to me more if it weren't so incredibly predictable.
Yeah.
I guess we don't really have much to say until they build on this more.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead to Naruto.
I love this chapter.
Oh, you love the chapter with the translation?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't care about the translation. So basically, what most of the chapter was...
It was a notepad file with art attached.
But I loved the notepad file because it was basically Sasuke going, "Hey, Itachi, pay attention to me." And Itachi going, "I do not care. I'm a zombie. Leave me alone. Go away. You're an asshole. Leave me alone."
Itachi has bigger things to worry about than Sasuke.
I love that Sasuke just got totally shut out in the Itachi thing, with Itachi just ignoring him. I don't know why, I just giggled reading that.
He answered a few of his questions.
Yeah.
He just didn't care.
It's like, yeah. I have bigger things to deal with. I am going to go and kill Obito.
No, he's going to kill Madara.
He's not going to fight Madara. Obito wasn't the name that I was trying to say. What's his face?
Kabuto.
Yes, Kabuto, thank you. That's who he's going to fight, because he wants to deal with the jutsu which brings people back from the dead.
Yeah,
specifically because Madara's still out.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Does it seem to you like Madara's kind of enjoying this thing?
Oh, quite a bit.
Being alive and just getting to kill people again?
Yeah. Like, all the rumors of him being an awful person do not appear to be exaggerated. Like, most of the other ninjas they've fought have not been relishing the fact that they've been brought back to life.
I mean, like, think about back to, like, Zabuza, who was a bad, bad person. But when he got brought back as a zombie, he wanted no part of Kabuto and Tobi's plan. Like, Madara seems to have no problem being used, because it's a mean to an end. You know, he can continue killing.
Yeah, he's very much... Even Sasuke doesn't enjoy killing to that extent, so I'm trying to figure out where, like, the parallels.
I mean, in this chapter, Madara even is making a game out of it by, like, picking out who he wants to kill, which is Tsunade.
That was mocking her because she's not as powerful as the first.
That was a weird conversation. Where she was like, "Well, obviously I'm not as strong, and I can't heal as well, and I'm a woman." I was like, "I don't think you needed to add that third part."
Well, Madara himself said that third part.
Yeah, but she agreed, like, she was kind of conceding that fact.
Well, this is Naruto. It's, you know.
Yeah. That just came off kind of weird. But I guess we need to summarize the chapter, but we basically have.
Yeah.
Sasuke and Itachi were talking. Yeah,
there's basically the two things that happened.
There were two half chapters that were stuck together. They're completely separate things that happened and just split right down the middle.
I kind of see it as more of a shifting from one to the other, so I think it's going to focus on the Madara fight now in the next chapter.
Maybe.
I think Itachi kind of didn't want to deal with Sasuke because he knows Naruto has to.
At this point,
I don't think that there's anything else that he can do.
Well, I love that aspect of it, of just, like, you've made your choice, you went down the bad path, go away. Just, like, Itachi's done with him.
I'm dead, leave me alone.
But he made the choice on faulty information, and Itachi could just, you know, tell him the truth.
No. He made the choice on the real information.
He knows the truth, he's just crazy.
He's just insane and chose the, you know, batshit crazy decision to make in that situation.
Yeah,
but he, like, the way Obito phrased it to him was sort of, you know, your brother made this choice because he was forced to, because he really didn't have any other choice. But Itachi kind of believes that he made the choice because it's the best thing for the village.
Yeah, he didn't react much when Sasuke said he was going to destroy Konoha.
Well, he thought about Naruto.
Yeah.
Like, that was the specific time he was like, "Okay, I'm just going to let Naruto deal with this."
I mean, does it totally have to do with Sasuke, or does Itachi just literally have bigger things to worry about right now?
Both, probably.
Yeah.
Like, Sasuke is the one thing that mattered to him for, a good 10 years? 10, 15 years?
Yeah, he was something like 10 when his family was killed.
And he basically died so Sasuke would survive and get a little stronger. And Sasuke totally misunderstood the
situation. And in his hypothetical, you know, master plan, would become the hero of the village for taking him out.
And that didn't work out. Not in the least.
So Itachi's just sick of planning things and having them go awry, so he's just not even trying now.
I feel like...
He's like, so I'm going to go and kill this guy now, and myself at the same time.
I feel like a little bit of his insistence that Naruto should deal with this Sasuke problem is kind of plot thing. Like, it's a little too transparent on the plot. Like, Itachi is going, well, Naruto's going to have to deal with this because that's his thing. He might as well say, this is what it's been building to for the rest of the manga.
Just tell Sasuke that a lot of people are waiting for him to fight Naruto.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't disappoint them.
The polls show that would help, but are the votes.
My editor insists that I can't end this rivalry right now, so...
That seems like something Beal would do.
Which they actually did this chapter with apologizing to the readers for not immediately showing bathing suits.
Yeah.
But in Naruto, so you think it's going to follow the Madara fight now? Like we're going
to
deal
I think it's going to cut back to the Kages fighting Madara.
So you guessed last week that it was going to be Tsunade and the Tsuchikage teaming up, which seems like it's possible now because Tsunade has, you know, is going to fight him.
I think all of them are going to continue fighting him.
You think?
I don't think one of the Kages is going to survive. At least one is going to get knocked out.
Tsuchikage is going to die.
Yeah.
We know.
Backstory, so.
And Gaara's going to live.
Gaara always lives.
I could see the Mizukage dying because she's not really that important. Hasn't done a whole lot.
Yeah, oddly, she's one of the most popular... Well, not oddly, I guess. She's one of the most popular characters.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Was there a character poll recently?
Right after the Kage Summit, I think.
Oh, okay.
And she was up there despite having, like, hardly said anything or done anything.
She flirted with a young ninja, and that was kind of it.
So do you guys think Raikage is going to die, or have anything worse happen to him?
Raikage might
die. I
could
see that happening, but yeah.
Because I can see B going nuts. Because he hasn't really done much except for like supporting Naruto from the sidelines.
Yeah, come to think of it, B hasn't done a whole lot lately. He needs some kind of motivation. He's just tagging along.
I'm guessing Madara kills Raikage. Sees Sasuke somewhere along the line, flies into a rage, and this time Sasuke beats him. And then it goes to the inevitable Naruto-Sasuke fight. Because I never really did finish that.
I don't really
Sasuke,
see B as flying into a rage at seeing Sasuke, honestly.
Well, not so much at seeing Sasuke, but he hears an Uchiha killed Raikage.
I was thinking more that B's going to get taken out when Tobi finally decides to show his true power or whatever. You know, the demonstration of how strong he is. The sacrificial lamb, you know, that whole trope.
I'm not sure...
Which is unfortunate because B's awesome.
I'm not sure the Tobi thing is going to end right now.
You think he's going to book it? And...
I think he's going to run.
I'm still going to stick with...
Once the Ito Tensei drops, then he's got no backup.
Yeah, actually, once that drops, it's just him, right?
Yep.
Almost all the Zetsus have been taken out.
And Kabuto's clearly not going to help.
Well, once the Ito Tensei is taken out, that probably means that Kabuto is taken out, too.
Does it require him to die, or can he just drop it?
Actually, even if he dies, it keeps going.
So yeah, because I remember when Obito was yelling
at
him.
Which is crazy broken. Like, the Edo Tensei is like the most unbalanced thing I've ever heard. It's like, I get to recreate these people and their strength and their weapons, and they can never die, and it can never be stopped.
I wonder if there's like a...
There's got to be
because they did mention that there is a weakness, right? But they haven't said what it is yet.
Yeah, Tobi knows the weakness or something, right? Like he's...
Yeah, that was his one requirement, is that he get told it. And I'm wondering if it's something like, if you kill the person, the jutsu itself doesn't stop, but it transfers who controls them or something like that?
Mm. No, because then Tobi would have just killed him right there.
True.
I think Itachi has to know. Because otherwise he wouldn't be running with such urgency.
Yeah.
I'm sure that all these zombies still have some connection to Kabuto, and there's probably something that can be done to sever the link to the chakra. And
I'm guessing it has something to do with the Mangekyo Sharingan.
Maybe he'll convince Kabuto to drop it. Like, hypnotize him into stopping it.
Or trap him in, like, a coma or something.
Yeah. All viable options when you have the Sharingan.
Watch, it's just going to end with, like, a kunai to the neck or something.
Kabuto will have just been lying, and it totally ends when he dies.
That does seem like the kind of thing they would do. But yeah, this is really building to inevitable end game of some sort. But I don't think it's going to end quite here with the our Tobi Naruto fight.
Yeah. I can agree with that. I'm not sure it's going to end that quickly.
Because he even foreshadowed a little bit.
I'm not sold. I it wouldn't surprise me just everything else being lined up as much as it is.
The question is, does Naruto end on a fight where he takes out the big bad or a fight where he takes out Sasuke?
I think he takes out the
Sasuke
big bad.
Oh, Sasuke's going to be end.
Yeah, Sasuke, definitely.
Yeah.
I was actually wondering the idea, you know, in my head, are we going to get another time skip at some point? Like,
I don't think so.
I think we might get like a last chapter time skip.
Well, yeah, like an epilogue time skip when it shows him with his kid or something like that.
You guys don't think it might pull a Dragon Ball Z and have child, teenager, adult? I mean, that he hasn't shied away from following DBZ's lead before.
But I don't think the manga can take that kind of strain at this point. Like, this is the climax, this is where it has to end.
Well, I thought that was Bleach, too, when they were fighting Aizen. And then,
took it back behind the shed.
Right, but... Okay, fair enough. I won't push that too much. I'm just throwing it out there for now.
I did find out that apparently other boards have been co-opting our future Sasuke theory.
Yes, I've seen that a few places now. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think people are thieving.
We have proof, though. That podcast is up and dated.
Yes.
That's totally our theory.
The podcast of record shows.
So if it does happen to be future Sasuke, then clearly we called it. If it's not, then haha, great joke on our part.
It's all we're aiming to do is spread rumors on the internet.
Yeah.
Speaking of great jokes, One Piece was both funny and kind of incredibly awesome this week.
I thought you were going to say speaking of calling it, because, man, we nailed it.
Vega stuff, we nailed.
Everything, yeah. The Aoikiji fight, we...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was what I was thinking about when I was, like, thinking that there was something you were going to brag about when the podcast started.
Well, to be fair, everybody called that. But,
hey, don't take this away. I don't get to pat myself on the back very often. But man, we A-plussed calling this. So anyway, good chapter.
Well, the only thing that has not yet been called is whether or not this is the Elbaf fable thing or not, which I'm now thinking it's probably not.
I think it probably is.
They did specifically ask, is this the giant island? And they got no answer.
Yeah.
But I mean, with One Piece, he doesn't shy away from calling out the obvious thoughts. So it's hard to tell at this point.
So basically what happens is we deal more with the B team Straw Hats and the kids, of which the kids are apparently of varying sizes. They're not all giants.
Yeah.
Some are like,
which doesn't
size.
That go along with the fact like the guy's legs that were severed were huge, if you recall?
Yeah.
And
but he wasn't abnormally big either. Like, he was taller than Luffy, but Luffy's kind of a small guy.
True. Yeah.
I mean, there weren't any normal sized ones. Like, the smallest ones were as tall as Sanji.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty big for a baby.
Which makes me wonder if they're Vegapunk experiments.
Well, they mentioned something, you know, as they're pleading with Nami about not being sick anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Can't help but wonder if that has to do with the poison thing that was mentioned later on in the chapter, though.
The other revelation, or one of the revelations about the island, is that it is Vegapunk's playground, basically, where he tested a chemical weapon.
Which you should have, like, it should have made sense the second we realized everybody was in hazmat suits.
Yeah. I thought that was just because
it should have made sense when you saw the name Punk Hazard. Thank you very much.
In fairness, judging One Piece names when they're English is a fool's errand.
When they're actually written in English, though, which both Vegapunk and the name on the door were written in English in the original manga.
Yeah. So I don't understand what was happening with the A-team half the time.
They're just walking towards the ice half of the island.
But yeah, then, the thing with the centaurs is that Luffy still has the legs attached to him, so the centaurs approach him thinking that he's another centaur to befriend them, and then he fights them.
Yeah, but that all happened in, like, off-screen, and then they just kind of cut into it halfway through.
Well, you're supposed to notice it happening in the background. You see them meet and, you know, wave at each other. And
then Luffy punches one.
Yes.
So what the heck is up with that, like, slime thing, which I'm guessing is supposed to be either Vegapunk himself or their communication with him?
No, it's not Vegapunk. He actually refers to Vegapunk as, like, disliking him. I don't think Vegapunk's on this island anymore. It seems someone else has picked up where he left off and does not care for him.
I think we did at least get some confirmation that Franky is using Vegapunk technology now.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, you know, it's probably something that most people assume, but we learned that Vegapunk is, like, an old man.
Yeah.
And refer to him as that. So everyone assumed that, but I think it's the first confirmation we get on any specifics about how he looks or acts.
I'm guessing, what's his name? The fat samurai guy.
Momo something.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's probably there.
Fat samurai guy. He's an admiral now, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he had a coat.
Because, I mean, it's an island of samurai, and he works for Vegapunk. So it seems likely that this would be the place he would come to. And
but
he,
like I said, I don't
well, well,
think
no, but it seems like this place has been abandoned now. So.
It's not really abandoned. There are people there.
But he's still affiliated with the Navy and everything else himself, and it was supposed to be off limits and everything else.
The logo on the bad guy's equipment had CC written on it, so I'm thinking that's who's there, is whatever CC is.
Can we think of anything that would make sense with CC?
Code Geass? I don't know.
I actually can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is a new character. I mean, weird vortex water dude seems to be.
Does it seem kind of weird to you that they set up a Big Mom confrontation and then immediately just went to a Vegapunk thing?
Sort of, yeah. Especially since it was, you know, as soon as you're in the red line, I'm going to fight you. And they just go in the red line and just keep going.
I wonder if that was just misdirection or he's setting up something for later.
I'm sure he's setting it up.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're going to run into one another soon enough.
It was a planted seed. It was just a very big planted seed.
It's just rare that One Piece signs a focus on something that's going to take on a lot later.
You mean like Fishman Island?
Well, like Fishman Island, but I mean, this, it would be like saying Skypiea at Arlong Park and then not dealing with it until actual Skypiea time.
Well, it would be like the CP9 taking Robin and then you do Skypiea.
Yeah. It just seems like it's a strange thing to set up that confrontation and then go to an island that has just as much to do with the story. It's a different part of the story.
Well, it happened to be there when they came up.
So, with the revelation that this is actually the place where Aoikiji and Akainu fought, do you think Aoikiji is still here? Or
it's possible.
Because he never showed up again.
Do they specifically say that nobody's seen him since?
Yeah, only Akainu
also
came back.
I guess he's not technically called Aoikiji anymore, and we need to...
Yeah.
And remember,
he's
Kuzan now. He is Kuzan.
And what's Akainu? It's like Sakuraba or something.
Oh, he switched back his name too.
Yeah, well, because they're not admirals anymore. Yeah. So.
That would explain why Robin came with the A group then, because like I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, there has to be a reason for it, and if Kuzan is on the island somewhere, she would probably be the first one he recognizes.
I think he would recognize any of them.
I'm actually noticing, glancing through the chapters, that the facility that Luffy and his friends start arriving at the end of the chapter has boats parked out front of it. So there's,
yeah.
There's people there.
Well, they moved their boat there. So I think you can assume that this is the facility, and the other boats are the ones that the people came and went to the sunny there.
Okay, so that's where the B team is in that building that they're coming to.
Yeah, because remember, that's from the perspective of Brooke, who was left on the boat.
Right.
Because he got knocked out by knockout gas, even though he doesn't have any lungs. Yo-ho.
And I would also like to point out, has a teacup with his face on it. I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't know. I wonder what they're going to do with those kids, because they can't bring them on the boat.
Well, obviously, there's going to be some other people who are trapped there that were being experimented on, who are going to be able to take care of the kids that they're also going to free.
I'm going to be amused if all the adults and their parents are, like, tiny.
So, my personal theory is that whoever this is trying to recreate Elfat or Elbath. Like, because they mentioned that the centaurs are weird. So I'm wondering if they're not trying to, like, genetically create creatures of legend.
I feel like they're probably trying to create synthetic devil fruit.
Do you think, like, well, but that one guy's a giraffe, and we've already seen a giraffe devil fruit.
Yeah.
And a leopard devil fruit, come to think of it.
And people, those are CP9 people, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that the stuff he would easily have access to.
Not necessarily. They didn't know. Well, wait, no. Which
we don't
one?
Know.
They didn't know that the giraffe one was the giraffe one at the time.
And this guy doesn't seem to have an affiliation with the Marines, whoever is running this, because he contemplates killing Smoker and decides against it. Because, you know, killing a Marine would attract too much attention.
But, I mean, he's always kind of had some association with the Marines. Like, it may not be the best working relationship, but he's gotten access to pacifistas pretty easily.
Well, yeah, again, I don't think it's Vegapunk. I think it's someone else.
That made the pacifistas?
Yeah, no, I do think that you're right. I reread that one page right there, and it's definitely not Vegapunk, because the swirling thing hates Vegapunk, so.
But that's clearly Vegapunk's island for...
Yeah, that he ditched.
Well, yeah, they explicitly say that, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Smoker says that, you know, it was 4 years ago that Vegapunk tested this thing on it. So.
I don't know. I don't think it's as abandoned from Vegapunk's influence as you guys think. I feel like he probably still has some degree of control or oversight of it.
I don't know. He strikes me as the kind of person that once he's done with an experiment, he moves on.
He did that to the place where Frankie landed.
That was pre his Marine days, wasn't it? Or Marine Association days.
Yeah.
True.
That was the island where he was born.
I wonder if he's going to, like, kidnap Frankie and try to, like, deconstruct him.
He might have some interest in him, because he's... Well... But the pacifistas are so much more advanced than Frankie, so.
Oh, have we seen that new pill that Chopper had this time? Kung Fu point, yeah.
I'm not sure, but it was pretty funny looking.
Yeah, apparently now he can fight. But
he always could fight.
Now he can actually, he's a trained fighter with this medicine.
Oh, okay.
I was just looking through the chapter at the very end where we see Smoker get a pretty good look at him for the first time. And he's got some shady-looking people in his crew behind him. Kind of wondering what the deal with that is.
Well, I mean, he's been chasing Luffy for several years now.
Yeah, but he's got, like, some old man with swords and, like, some short guy. And they don't look like your typical Marines.
I don't think he's your typical Marines. I think he's a rogue unit that basically has one goal.
You think this is his straw hat catching team?
Yeah. They're the people they can spare to catch Straw Hat.
So are these the people that are going to fight this arc? Like, is this the main fighting antagonist?
I don't think they're ever going to fight Smoker, like, directly in the kind of fights that we expect from shonen manga. Like, maybe it'll happen one day, but it's not going to happen as long as they can delay it.
Yeah, it's going to be more of a running thing, like, where they either end up on the same side of a conflict, or a running thing where they kind of have a confrontation and then somebody runs.
Yeah. The Garp Gold Roger relationship.
Yeah.
Did Garp actually end up quitting the Marines? Did they ever say that?
No, they retired to only train new recruits, and that's the same place where Sengoku went.
Yeah, which means they're probably training Cody and Helmeppo.
I thought that they were technically already officers.
Yeah, but I'm sure they need to get stronger if there's ever going to be any confrontation with the Straw Hats somehow.
I feel like the Aokiji and Akainu thing has to be a much bigger deal than we're writing it off as. Because it was the big reveal of that chapter.
That's why I think Aokiji is still going
to
be there.
Well, I think that the reason it was a big deal was because now we know who the new fleet admiral is, so I think that the Marines themselves are going to be a bit more hard edge.
Well, we knew that Akainu is the one that won. That's what Jinbei said way back on Fishman Island. That it really made Luffy mad.
That's right.
Yeah, which is, it seems like Luffy is piling up confrontations that he needs to get through.
You know, we got another 10 years left of One Piece.
I
plenty of time.
I do sometimes wonder if it's going to run that long.
I don't
think it's any danger of it being canceled. I think at some point Oda's going to get. He has a kid, and he's going to want to spend time with his kid.
I could see him taking a vacation for a couple months or something like that, where it takes a hiatus, but. I mean, the guy's not that old. He's, like, what, a couple years older than us?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think he's going to let his kid's first 10 years go by while he's making manga and movies.
But other mangaka have had kids and finished their stories. I mean,
I guess it depends on what Oda is going to do. But if he says it's going to be another 10 years in One Piece, I'm not 100% sure I believe that.
I mean, how long did, like, something like Dragon Ball go?
By Toriyama's will or by Jump's will?
By either. How long?
We are already past Dragon Ball's number of chapters in One Piece.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it'll be sad if, like, One Piece does end, but I think realistically running a manga like that for 20 years and keeping it fresh and keeping your grip on sanity are not easily coalescing things.
Dragon Ball had 520 chapters, and the entire Buu saga was one that was motivated by Shonen, by Shonen Jump, not by him himself.
And One Piece is at 658.
I don't know. I agree that another 10 years seems like a long time, and you know, doing something like this for that long. But
no, he'll just start. He'll probably have a couple hiatuses or something like that. Hopefully, nothing like Berserk, which is, you know, all Berserk's been around for 20 years, so.
With almost 10 chapters.
Yeah.
I wonder if at some point it becomes a legacy thing where One Piece comes back for a little while and does one arc and then goes away again.
I could see that happening.
But you know,
I think that he is popular enough and at this point probably powerful enough to be able to have the sort of sway to make that happen if he wants it to.
Yeah, you guys know what I mean. Like, it's been like 14 months since the last arc. Oh, hey, it's back for 2 months, you know, to do this little short arc, and then it's gone again.
See, I feel like the first time he says he wants to take an extended break and they tell him One Piece is too popular, you got to keep going, he's going to start seriously considering ending it.
Which, yeah, that is one thing. It's the way One Piece is, you know, the world is arranged. He could kind of end it at any point. You know, the next island could always be the last.
Yeah. You never know where the, what was those things called? The navigation things? Yeah. When that's going to just lead to the end of the treasure.
All of a sudden, they're at Raftel. End of story.
I mean, Roger got there eventually.
Hopefully it's not anytime soon.
So I'm going to be mad if, like, they do end it without, because, like I said, Luffy has quite the backlog of confrontations these days. If he never gets revenge on Akainu, then that's going to be kind of shitty. If he never fights Blackbeard, that's going to be kind of shitty.
I guess we'll see.
He never meets Shanks again.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they'll get to him eventually.
Hopefully. Like I said, that if Oda says this is halfway point, I'm sure he believes that. But I'm not sure that that's all at all that realistic.
I don't think now's the time to be worrying about something like that. I think it's still going to be going strong for a good long while, at the very least.
It's one of the few series that seems to have genuine progression, but also the future planned out. So I am willing to trust in Oda.
But you see people like, people are saying, oh, One Piece is still going on 700 chapters in. There's no way I can get into it now. I wonder if for volume sales, it might make more sense to end it at some point.
Well, volume sales are still through the roof. It sells heads and tails a bunch of everything else.
I mean, it's basically like the rest of the top 10 combined.
Yeah, it sells like what? Every volume sells like 3 million or something? It's crazy.
Hmm. So I guess for Jump, most of their money comes from just our volumes?
Probably. Oh, I mean, they charge, you know, those aren't as cheap as they are over here.
Yeah, and the older volumes are still just as expensive as the newer ones for the most part. If I'm not mistaken.
Well, here's hoping One Piece does last another 10 years. And on that note, I think we should probably wrap it up because we're running late.
Are we? Oh, yeah, shit. Shoot.
All right, guys. This has been the March 1st post-leap year Shonen Jump cast. Greg, Mike, thank you for coming.
Yep, thank you.
And we will see you guys next week.
Music.
You once thought of me as a white knight on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be.
Are you going to read Stars, Imran?
Maybe, eventually.
It's an easy read. It's not, the chapters aren't super long like Bakuman.
Actually, you should do the monkey song for the closing and have the opening be the 2001 theme.
Why?
Yes. Because this is basically 2001, the manga.
Ah. Alright. Like the monolith.
They're building a monolith right now, like in the manga.
Kind of. They're calling them chairs.